Hey, deserving listeners, this episode is just for patrons of the podcast. So if you're listening to this, then you are a patron, and thank you so much for being a patron. This episode is an excerpt, one of the excerpts from the 11th anniversary show. Now, if you're one of those people who doesn't like rambly episodes, then I wouldn't recommend listening to this. But if you like that sort of thing, then listen. So enjoy.
Psychology in Seattle.
All right, let's do another top 11. This is our sixth top 11 list. Berto, favorite albums?
What? Oh my gosh, controversy. No, okay, number... Okay, here, first are some saddies. Like, sad because I didn't get to put them in my list. And it's kind of crimes against humanity. So people can go ahead and curse me now.
I have to interrupt you.
Yeah, what?
So Alex...
He's interrupting me, you see?
Oh, Serenity just upgraded too. So Serenity, you get a pin. I have to show you. So Alex just drew this picture.
Oh, whoa. Just now, like as we were talking and stuff?
Said she drew it while we were podcasting.
Oh, interesting. Very, very, very serious artistic talent.
That is so cool.
Isn't that cool?
That is very cool.
I'm going to put that up on my wall. You have to send it to me, Alex. Or, I don't know.
Uh-oh. The monitor is now in front of half of you.
Sorry. There we go.
Okay. Oh, the podcasters couldn't see it, of course. Or the, not, we are the podcasters, I guess. The listeners couldn't see it.
Yeah, how
but
can
you'll,
I?
But you'll probably be able to share it.
Oh, where's my phone?
Yeah,
there's my phone. Okay. Ooh, I have a lot of texts. Okay, so where is that? Picture. Camera. Okay, Alex. Download.
Yeah, he's going to show you. Calm down. Everyone calm down. It's a little bright. There we go.
I mean, I wouldn't say it looks exactly like us, but you definitely capture the themes of our hair, our eyebrows.
And the pathos.
And the... And the eyes, I guess the eyes are pretty good.
Where did we go wrong?
I would say I'm probably better looking in your drawing than I am in real life.
Oh, shucks.
Okay. So, let us go
to... Top 11 favorite albums.
To top 11 favorite albums. What is it?
Okay. So, first off, I wanted to give some sad shout-outs to the ones that didn't make it. I feel really bad about this. Pink Floyd didn't make it in. The Cure didn't make it in. Fleetwood Mac didn't make it in. The Police didn't make it in. Very sad about this. But anyways, my number 11 is... It's kind of cheating a little bit, but come on. It's been enough years and it's iconic enough. ABBA Gold.
That is cheating. You can't have best
of. Come on!
You can't have best of.
It's not best of. It's that I only grew up with a collection of songs because...
That's cheating, because if we did best of albums, then do you know what I mean?
But pick the one that had the greatest percentage of those songs, and that's my number 11.
Okay, I'll accept that. Because there's so much... If you did best of, you could do, like, compilation albums.
I know. I knew I was getting into trouble with you. If it makes you feel good, I only put two of these kinds of records in my list.
Only two?
Only two.
Okay.
Okay.
If it was all top... Yeah, I was like, okay.
No.
Mine is The Shins, number 11. O Inverted World, their very first album.
Okay.
It's just a masterpiece. They recorded it totally on the cheap, just like Umberto and I have recorded before. You can tell the drums sound like crap.
But the songs
and the keyboard and the melodies and the bass lines are amazing. Yeah. And the guitars.
Yeah,
and
it's really...
It's just like...
Really incredible.
It's so good. All right. You're number 10.
Pretty Hate Machine.
By...
Nine Inch Nails.
Yeah.
I gotta say, when I first... So the story was, me and some friends at high school, like... they were all talking. I came into the lunchroom and I'm sitting down and they're like, blah, blah, blah. And my friend Matt was showing us his new design on the back of his leather jacket. He's like, check it out. And I'm like, what is it? What do you mean, what is it? N-I-N. Well, what does that mean? What? Nine Inch Nails. I'm like, what's a Nine Inch Nails? Oh my God, you're fired, right? And everyone had heard of Nine Inch Nails except me. I'm like, what is... And so one of our friends of our group came to pick me up from my house, and his name is Ron, and he was an exchange student from Germany. And I get in the car, and he pops the CD in, and the sound, and Pretty Hate Machine starts. And I was like, what am I listening to? Like, I was blown away. They were, he was using such interesting electric sounds and, like, really almost like, you know, like scathing sounds. And then his lyrics and his voice and the writing was so good. Blown away.
My number 10 is Journey Escape, 1981.
Mm-hmm.
I was 10 when, and my family was really into this album. And my friends were, it was just a huge album at the time. But every track, so a lot of, some of my favorite ones here are basically because I was 10 and fell in love with it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm sure today there's a 10-year-old falling in love with one of the worst albums that's ever been created. But because it came out when they were 10, you know, it's so anyway. But
and then you have that attachment.
Yeah. I just love that album, Journey Escape. You're number 9.
And so, it's got great songs. Like, let's
it does.
Be clear.
So, Berto, while you do this, I got a lot of texts.
Okay.
And so I'm going to be not listening because I have to check these texts.
You see what happened?
So I apologize.
All right. That sounds good. Because kind of like a cloud, I was up way up in the sky, and I was feeling some feelings that you wouldn't believe. Sometimes I don't believe in myself, and I decided I was never coming down. Just then, a tiny little dot caught my eye. It was just about too small to see, but I watched it way too long. It was pulling me down. Love it. Love it. Yes, BC, I agree with your quotes. Anyways, do you want me to do my number
9?
Okay. Let's see. I will sing a song for my band at some point. Now my number 9 is Weezer Blue, the Blue album, their first album. It's amazing. Not only is Weezer, you know, great, but like every song in that record is a great song.
Yeah.
And the guitar is so interesting. The first song, Jonas, My Name is Jonas, and like the way it swells up and it lands so heavy, it's so good. I can't say enough good things about it. I love it. And every song, I love singing to it, too. That's the other thing.
I'm surprised that that's in your top 11 because I am such a Weezer first two album fan.
Yeah.
First three albums, kind of. And I'm surprised I didn't even have that. The first two albums of Weezer are some of the most amazing melodic rock stuff.
Yeah, really good.
My number 9 is Ben Folds Five. Whatever and Ever Amen, 1997.
Mm.
I listened to this song on constant rotation. I actually, I would walk around Green Lake late at night when I got home from work. I would walk around like at midnight, and I would listen. I would do two things. I would listen to Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew on Loveline in 1997, and I would listen to Ben Folds Five, Whatever and Ever Amen. It is a raucous piano, raw, funny, melodically beautiful album. What's your number 8, Berto?
Well, my number 8 is The Innocence by Erasure.
Ah.
Of course, I had to have an Erasure here, but like The Innocence has freaking Ola Moore, and it's got freaking Chains of Love, and it's got A Little Respect.
God, and that's a powerhouse.
I mean, so many good songs on this album.
Is that like 88?
Yeah, yeah. 88 sounds about
right. Wow, that's a great album.
It's my favorite album of theirs, and it's, you know, Erasure has some of the best pop songwriting. It's great.
Hey, Serenity, glad, yeah. So, obviously, Loveline has its pros and cons, but when I was a 26-year-old young person, I just thought it was great. Stacy is now taking professional photos. Does my hair look dumb? It's not too bad. And so my number 8 is Husker Du, Warehouse, 1987. Mm. Some consider Warehouse to be tipping into selling out, but I saw Could You Be the One on MTV, and it changed my life. Like, so 1987, the marriage of pop and rock and punk hadn't really been done yet. We eventually heard it in Nirvana and other bands like that, like grunge we eventually heard.
But Husker Du was doing it well, like way before that. And so when I heard Husker Du, it was just like, holy crap, this is the best thing. And once I actually heard Nirvana, I was like, oh, they must listen to a lot of Husker Du. That's what I remember thinking.
Oh.
All right, you're number seven, Berto.
Okay. Number
Ooh, Laura
seven.
Laura says Abbey Road. That might make an appearance in one of our lists. We'll see. Autumn says, my hair looks good.
Yeah, though the picture isn't very high resolution, so who knows?
Yeah, so who knows?
All right. Wait, number seven.
Seven.
OK Computer by Radiohead.
Ah.
I love Radiohead. Actually, I was really going to go with the Bends because it's actually got a couple of my favorite songs of theirs on the Bends.
But OK Computer is more alternative, right?
OK Computer, I think, is a more well-rounded overall album.
Oh.
And it does have the music in it. It's the arrangement. It's the production. It's so amazing. But the Bends has some of their best songs. So anyways, I still went with OK Computer, and I love it.
My number seven, and Berto, I believe you're not going to include this in your top 11. Maybe you will. Mm. And I'm guessing that you forgot to think about it because you often forget about this.
Okay.
Once, the soundtrack.
Well, no, I didn't put sound. No, that's unfair.
That's not a... That's that.
Oh, no. Who's bending the rules now, mister?
No, that's a fully encapsulated album. Soundtracks are grab bags.
Okay, I guess.
They wrote all the songs.
Okay,
in fact, the songs are in the movie.
Okay. Because I was going to put Jerry Maguire's soundtrack.
But that's
a collection of songs.
It's a grab bag.
Well, I didn't do it.
Yeah.
I didn't do it.
So that's not a grab bag soundtrack.
I was also going to put Hamilton in.
But I can't believe you didn't put... Well, you could have put Hamilton
in. I didn't do musicals. I thought we should do musicals separately.
Why would you want it? That's our
musical,
albums.
No, because those are long. There's like 30 songs in us. No, it's different. It's different.
Oh, well. Well, once I can...
I'll allow it. And you're right. It's a great, great CD. Great set of songs.
Once is a beautiful movie, but the songs, like there's like six tracks on that album, similar to First Aid Kit, that just make me want to cry every time I hear them. Beautifully written, beautifully performed. It's just a masterpiece. You're number six, Berto.
Yeah, it's true. Okay, my number six is Elliott Smith.
Yeah.
Yeah, that album.
Kill Rock Stars, they call it.
Yeah, well, but it technically doesn't have a name, right?
Right.
All right, okay. And it just, I talked about this before. It is a CD that I was listening to in constant rotation in 99. And I would just sing every song, and it was so awesome. And it just, the way it makes me feel, it's like he's singing about more than what he's singing about. And too good.
Yeah. I'm going to spoil it. That's my number four. Elliott Smith, Kill Rock Stars, 1995. Changed my life. That album is, every song's beautiful.
Yeah.
Every chord progression is beautiful.
So good.
Nothing like that had ever been made. I mean, you could argue that he was inspired by people like Nick Drake or something, but it just took it to a whole other level. And he was so legitimately an indie basement struggling artist.
There's no pretense here.
Who was never going to go in. I mean, he was actually originally a grunge artist in the band from Portland called, I can't remember the name of the band. I used to actually hear about them a lot. I never saw them. But anyway, my number six is Depeche Mode, Black Celebration.
I knew you'd have it in there somewhere.
My favorite
what
Depeche
Mode. Great album.
My favorite album by Depeche Mode.
It's got the best song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was 15. I was moody.
Yeah.
I'm in high school.
Yep.
I'm finding myself. And I got Catching Up With, which is kind of a compilation album. And was like, whoa, like... Depeche Mode is amazing, just constant. And then they released an album, Black Celebration. And man, I just listened to that album just like hundreds and hundreds of times. Just being a little emo kid at the age of 15.
And their production was so careful. It was...
Yeah, just amazing. You're number five, Berto.
So I know, but listen. Simon and Garfunkel, Greatest Hits.
You got to pick an album.
I can't because I never had an album.
Oh.
And that was my album of Simon and Garfunkel, and that was given to me by my aunt. Are you going to denigrate my aunt? Like, what are you talking about? ¿Qué dices de mi tía? Vamos. Listen, it was, and so the order of those songs, like if I bought one of their albums, I'd be like, well, that's not the order of the songs, because the order of the songs is what it is.
I mean, I'll give you that on some level, because the amount of albums that that comprises is probably like five. You know, it's not, it's not, they're not pulling from that many albums, but.
Okay, but in either case, like.
I mean, can you imagine someone saying, my favorite Beatles album
is the Red Album or the Blue Album? And I thought about that. I thought about not putting that in. I just thought about that argument. I just couldn't honestly sit here and say, well, my favorite Simon & Garfunkel album is such and such, Bridge Over Troubled. I never owned those albums.
Okay.
But I will say, if I hadn't had Simon & Garfunkel on this list, I would be nothing. I would be no one.
Yeah. My number five is R.E.M. Murmur. This is their very first album, 1983. Again, when I heard it, it was mind-blowing at the time. You listen to it now, and you're just kind of like, yeah, okay, that's fine. But just everything about that album, it's the energy and the melody and the bass line and the moodiness and the – it's just a great album. R.E.M. sort of lost their mojo, I think, by the time they became big. But just a beautiful album. You're number four, Berto.
All right. This will sound familiar. Violator. Violator is my favorite Depeche Mode and is my number four. And, of course, it doesn't have all my favorite songs, but it's just that as an album, I think they hit this level of mastery, and it was Flood produced, and it was it's just perfectly weaves one song into the next, and the sonic soundscapes are amazing. And then it has, of course, some amazing songs, but it's really the work. The work of it is perfect.
Yeah, it's so good. I think it's only nine songs, and just great. And back then, I would have said Violator was my favorite album, but going back, Black Celebration, I like better. And Music for the Masses is pretty good.
Oh, yeah. Those three are, like, ridiculous. It's hard to pick, but I just felt like Violator was, like, this perfect Dark Side of the Moon kind of accomplishment.
Yeah. Enjoy the Silence.
Which, by the way, why don't I have to... But yeah,
do you need a charger for your phone?
I still have half.
Oh, okay. Wow. Do you have an extra battery or something?
No, I just charged it last night for once, I guess.
All right, my number four, which I already said, Elliott Smith, Kill Rock Stars. What's your number three, Berto?
And I do have to apologize. Why is Disintegration not here? Why is there only one album by a certain band on this list?
Yeah.
I had to give room to a lot of things.
Okay. Right.
So my number three is the Freewheeling Bob Dylan.
Yeah, you've said this before.
Oh, yeah. That album... Which, by the way, it was also, I have a guess that it's Cameron Crowe's favorite because that was the one featured in Vanilla Sky.
Right.
It's got some of the best songs of his, and it is at a point in his kind of like cycle where it was, I think, my favorite music of his. It doesn't have all my favorite songs, of course, but it's got some of the best.
My number three is Smashing Pumpkins' Gish. This is the first Pumpkins album, 1991. This album, when I first heard it, I was like, yeah, okay, just another kind of pop rock band. It's fine. And I remember I was at UW and I was waiting to go to class. I was sitting in my, apartment in college. And I was listening to the Gish album, just chilling. And something clicked in my head about what the Smashing Pumpkins were. And I was like, this is the best music I've ever heard in my life. And for the next 5 years, I was completely obsessed with that band. All right, Berto, you're number two.
Led Zeppelin, but four.
Yeah.
Four.
Yeah, you've talked about this before, which I'm totally surprised to hear that you like Led Zeppelin at all, let alone consider them to be one of your favorite bands. Because, as we said before, I've never heard you listening to Led Zeppelin or talk about Led Zeppelin.
It's true. It's not a daily topic conversation. But the thing is, the two reasons why this became such a favorite of mine. One, in Colombia, they would play Stairway to Heaven on the radio. And whenever that song came on, I was transfixed. I'm like, what is this?
Yeah.
And then when I moved up and I had a little bit of spending cash because I was working at Mickey D's, I went to...
Which McDonald's did you work at?
I worked at two, Lacey. But in Lakewood.
Lakewood.
that I went to Ted, Camelot Music in the Lakewood Mall, and I bought a Led Zeppelin tape. It wasn't even a CD, right? It was a tape. And I was looking through, and I wanted the one with Stairway to Heaven, because, you know, and I bought Led Zeppelin 4. And I just loved it from beginning to end. Every song amazing. It starts, like, it starts with a bang, and it ends with, like, tears, you know? And yeah. It has, and I didn't know it at the time, but I sensed this, like, mythical quality of it, and so much of it was, like, related to Lord of the Rings and things. Oh, man. So good. And so that became a rotation, like constantly in my car, like just listening to it all the time.
Leah, Rhinoceros. Actually, that was definitely on Gish. All right. My number two is The Strokes, Is This It? 2001. Yeah. My band actually performed this song, this album from beginning to end last year. The Strokes, Is This It? Is, I think, a perfect album. It's poppy. Yeah. It's deep. It's melodic. The chords are amazing. The sound is familiar, but brand new, and just a beautiful album.
Yeah, yeah. When the video came out for Last Night, I seriously, I'm sure that was totally intentional, and everyone did, because I was like, is this an old video of a 70s band? Like,
yeah.
What is this?
Yeah. Number one, Birdo.
Number one, of course I had to have Beatles.
Pepper.
No. I had to go Revolver.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, when I was young, we talked about it. When I was younger, it was absolutely Sgt. Pepper. And I still love that album. And it's got some emotional moments for me because, like, I remember the moments when I would hear the songs and then when it would transition into With a Little Help of My Friends. It's just such a touching moment. But as I grew and I, like, got more into more all their stuff, yeah, really, Revolver's like this peak. Peak Beatles for me. And granted, you know, Abbey Road is like reinvented arrangements and reinvented production and all these things. And it's full of good songs. But Abbey Road also has a thing that I actually didn't care for as much, which is that the whole second half is their medley. And although it's filled with little nice little musical moments, and I like Guided by Voices, so maybe I could like that. It was missing the song after song after song, barrage of hits that is like stuff before that. And Revolver is no longer just their poppy stuff. You could have, you know, Rubber Soul started going a little more in this direction. Then Revolver is all of a sudden a new Beatles. And that's it. And I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but.
My number one is.
Well, Revolver.
No.
No?
That's not my favorite Beatles album.
Oh, okay, okay. Rubber Soul, then.
Yeah, Rubber Soul.
Okay. Right. Because we've talked about, yeah. Because I also love Rubber Soul. It's probably my number two.
So Birdo and I, as because of me, performed Rubber Soul beginning to end one time. And I love Rubber Soul. Obviously, I love all the Beatles albums. But Rubber Soul, I loved when I was a teenager. And then as I got older, I was like, oh, Revolver, that's where it's at. You know, White Album. I really loved White Album when I was a kid, too. But Rubber Soul, I was like, later on, I was like, you know what? If you just really look at the tracks on Rubber Soul, it's a solid, solid album. It's really good. All right. Honorable mentions are...
Every Beatles album.
Yeah. Other Strokes albums, other Elliott Smith's albums, other Pumpkins albums, other R.E.M. albums. Other
Dark Side of the Moon.
Other Depeche Mode albums. Stevie Wonder, The Knack. Xanadu soundtrack,
yep.
But that's a soundtrack. AC/DC, Back in Black, 1980. Devo, New Traditionalist, 1981. Rush, Moving Pictures, 1981. You can tell this, there's a lot of 80s stuff here because that's when I was a kid. Elvis Costello, Punch the Clock, 1983. U2, Unforgettable Fire, 1984. The Cure, Head on a Door, my favorite Cure album, 1985. Prince, Around the World in a Day, 1985. I believe that's Stacey's favorite Prince album as well. Dinosaur Jr., Green Mind, 1991. The Cardigans, Gran Turismo, 1998. Interpol, Antics, 2004.
I would have to give a few things out there, too. Like, I didn't include a Shins album, and I think I would, as an honorable mention, for sure, you know.
Yeah.
I think, again, it's the greatest hits, but, like, the Eagles. But I don't have to, because Hotel California, fine. I'll just put Hotel California. A Police album. I would easily do several Police albums in honorable mentions. Probably Zendaya. How do you say it?
Yeah, Zendata,
whatever. That's probably my favorite. Yeah, and then of course there's other stuff that I love that I just. Part of the problem for me is, I think we talked about this, growing up wasn't an album world for me. It was a top 40 world. So it's not like I owned albums in the 80s, right? I would hear a song, be like, I love that song. But like probably Men at Work, like a Men at Work album would be in my Duran Duran, of course. Like I would throw a Duran Duran easily in there.
Cargo Men at Work is one of my favorite albums.
Yeah.
Yeah. My household was an album household. My dad... had albums, and my older siblings had albums, and my dad actually, every Christmas, we would get like four or five albums for Christmas. No one's paying attention to me. All right.
But did you not say that you got, did you get a Tears for Fears album at Christmas?
No.
No, you bought that yourself?
I have no idea.
Because you didn't, you also didn't put a Tears for Fears in your...
No, I don't. Tears for Fears isn't one of my favorite bands.
Oh,
Patron Chris, you get a pin. Thank you for becoming a patron, Chris, if you're listening. I don't know if any of these people are listening, but... okay, so that was
They are, because they're saying... They're just, remember, they're a little behind, because, like, they're finally commenting on Police, and then the Eagles. Ooh, Peter Gabriel. I would have put... what's the one with In Your Eyes? Up? Or
So.
So. Thank you. So. Anyways. But... I can't believe you. So I thought Tears for Fears was one of your favorite bands.
No. I like them.
I love Tears for Fears. I would have put it at Tears for Fears.
There's like, well, I mean, definitely like, you know, top 75 or 50 or something. I mean, definitely like, like I made a playlist on Spotify of all my favorite.
What about the Knack? You didn't put a Knack.
There was in my honorable mention.
Oh, okay.
Of my favorite Tears for Fears songs. And it's like, 11 Tears for Fears songs that I can't wait to listen to.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So we got more mail from people. From Alexis. You actually came to our last show. Are you here, Alexis? A card from Alexis. Ooh.
Meow.
It says YOLO.
Meow, YOLO.
This is long.
Meow, no.
Let's see. Dear Psychology and CL team, Kirk Podwife, Umberto, Bob, Rebecca, and anyone else involved. I love you all. I don't take those words lightly, though. I suppose I do love many things. I love the Beatles. I love chocolate. I love pizza. And I love many podcasts. But my love for Psychology in Seattle and the Psychology in Seattle crew goes beyond. Wow. You love us more than the Beatles? We're bigger than Jesus?
I'm not saying I'm bigger than Jesus. Just saying, we're people and we do songs. And
that's amazing, Alexis. We've met you, and that's just very touching. You know, we do this podcast. There's a lot of reasons why I do it, and a big reason why I do it, honestly, is the personal connection with people. And you know, like I said, I get emails and comments every day. It's overwhelming. The connection that I feel with people, particularly actually when I meet them and actually interact with them and interact with them here, it's such a big deal. I mean, if like actually someone was talking on the survey about like how I talk about having an attachment with the listeners on some level, and even though it might seem like, well, we're just doing this thing and no one else is here with us when we're doing it, it feels kind of like a one-way directional thing. It's actually extremely, it feels very much like a two-way conversation with people. And so thank you, Patron Alexis, for the cards. Very touching. I'll read the whole thing later. Here's something from Tasha, from Patron Tasha, who gets a pin.
Woo!
Okay, it's in
bedtime.
It's in a mysterious bag. Let's open it. Hey, Umberto.
Whoa! It's guitar themed and it's got my name. Look at this, everyone.
I have stars. Stars are better than guitars.
That's beautiful.
All right, let's.
Who is this from?
Tasha.
Tasha.
We met her at the
Yes, we did.
Tenure. Whoa. Natasha. This is interesting.
Ooh.
It's like a cassette.
It does look. There are these little tape. This is adorbs. Look
oh,
at this.
Oh, but then you, when you, oh, when you, you oh. can like 3D it, Berto. You can 3D
oh,
it.
Oh, I see. But I'm scared of like making the tape get all tangled. This yeah. is awesome. It says Umberto's greatest hits.
Oh, and the other side gosh. Says
11 years of Jobs and greatness of Steve Jobs. Is that what this is beautiful?
Yeah.
Mine
says 11 years of epic what? Psychology.
This is so good.
Yeah. It's cool. Thanks.
I mean, I wonder if I can put a tape inside this tape, you know, like it might fit. This is beautiful. Very thank yous. Very thank yous. So much larger than life.
Yeah, just a sweet card. Thank you for the time and effort that you put into your podcast. I'm sorry to miss the after party this year, but maybe future years. I will happily listen to your podcast as long as you're willing to make it. I'll probably die before I don't like making it anymore. So, and in the afterlife, if there's one, I'll probably make a podcast there. So you can join us there. Thank you so much, Patron Tasha. That's really sweet.